Philemon, we're going to look at verses 8 through verse 16. Let's pray. Loving Father, help us now. May your Spirit direct myself, the listener alike. May you be pleased with what's said. May you be pleased with our attitude toward your word and our response to it. Lord, would you grant repentance where it's needed, encouragement and uplifting, if that would be the case. Lord, we just need your help now. And again, we pray for each that have come in those doors today, Lord, and you know where everyone's at. You know those that are struggling in whatever ways, whatever situations. You know those who are broken. You see each of us. We're grateful for that. Meet us right where we're at. I pray we can set aside our thoughts and cares, or at least bring them to you and your word for help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Philemon, verse 8, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, now as also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. Perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. It's an amazing little book. We've moved from Colossians into this book of Philemon. This Philemon is all about God caring so much that two men would be reconciled, that he, through his Spirit, moved Paul to write and put in Scripture one of the 66 books, a book about reconciliation. And this has to do with the church, has to do with you and I. The church, the blood-bought bride of Christ, represents him on earth. We stand as redeemed of the Lord. It is our privilege to shine the light of the gospel in every place at all times. His bride, consistent of men and women, boys and girls, who have come to saving faith in him, are in a battle. We're in a battle for his fame, for his glory. We are the target of the enemy. And as Satan's days draw to a close, I believe the battle rages stronger and stronger. We're not exempt from the battle. The enemy will use anything and everything to slow our progress, to destroy our testimony, the testimony of the people of God. He wants to send them to the sidelines, disgruntled. You and I are in this battle. We're players in it. He wants to discourage you. He wants pride to well up in you. He wants you to seek your own will, your own way. He desires to bring disunity to the body and thus divide us and our ability to shine for him. This is happening throughout the body of Christ, churches everywhere. I heard of a church yesterday that at one time was shining brightly for Christ. They are down to single digits in people. The enemy has had his way there. God desires that his body, you and I, live in harmony for his sake. The appeal through the Holy Spirit makes through Paul to Philemon touches on this issue. God saw the situation that the church was going to be in when Onesimus, the slave, returned to his master who he had run away from. That the Lord desired that they would live in harmony in this church, in unity with one another, for his glory, for his name, for the sake of Jesus Christ. So in this next section, there's an appeal for reconciliation between these two men. I just want to help you to remember that last week we looked at words that were edifying. Paul built up Philemon. listen to what it says in verse 4. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So as Paul, through the Spirit, gives this letter, he just builds and builds and pulls some words. He builds Philemon up. In verse 7, he said, I've come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. And then from there, he makes this loving appeal. Listen to what he says. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. And he's making an appeal. You won't find really the steps of forgiveness and that throughout this book. Philemon knows all about that. He knows what it is to be forgiven by God through faith in Jesus Christ. He knows that. Paul takes that to the next level in dealing with relationships. Then that's what this is about. He has confidence in this man that he will do what's right. And he has confidence because he knows the type of person that Philemon is. He's the kind that refreshes the hearts of the saints. He's the kind that is in love with Jesus Christ. So he has confidence that Philemon is going to do what's right. Paul could have approached this in several ways. You know, he could have said, Philemon, I just want you to know something. I am an apostle. I've been given that ministry by Jesus Christ. I planted churches. I am seen as someone with great authority, and I'm telling you what you need to do. I'm so grateful for Paul's ministry here in his Christ-like attitude in seeing himself as an elder and how to deal with people. We don't have time, but 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3 speak to those who are in leadership. And it says, don't use your position to lord it over others. I'm paraphrasing. And Paul didn't do that. He could have. And I think it's something to take note of that he didn't. Also, when he was challenging Timothy and preaching the word and so forth, one of the things he said to him in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, that you need to do this with great patience. You need to be patient. And that's what he did. He's giving this loving appeal. He says here, I appeal to you. He mentions that several times. He makes this appeal in verse 9. Again, he makes it in verse 10. I appeal to you. And so he's not bringing him into a corner. He said, listen, I want you to consider something. There's someone that needs to be forgiven. You and Onesimus need to be reconciled. We'll get into that more as we go. But he says it's for love's sake. Paul had a deep appreciation and love for Philemon. He had mentioned Philemon's faith and ministry toward the saints. And he gave this. He says to him in verse 10, he says, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. Excuse me, verse 9. Since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I don't know about you. And I believe it was Paul that led Philemon to Christ. He certainly led Onesimus to Christ. Philemon knew of Paul's ministry. And he understands that Paul's imprisoned. And Paul, at this time, is the age. In those days, you're talking upper 50s. Maybe near 60 now, Paul is. In our society, that's considered fairly young anymore, isn't it? But Paul makes this appeal, and he's an older saint. He's had a lot under his belt at this point. And it's, I don't know about you, but it's tough for me. It'd be tough for me to say no to this. Here's a dear brother in Christ who's been in prison because of his stand for the gospel. He's an older man now, and he makes this appeal to me. There's something about someone old. I was told about an individual in his late 80s that would pass out gospel tracts on the streets. Just cold turkey. Here's something that's good. You need to consider this. Hardly anybody could turn him down because he was an older man. He had such a kind heart. There was something to that, and God would use that. And Paul's saying, hey, listen, I want you to consider this. Paul's a prisoner. He's older. He's elderly now. By the way, I need to say this. You who look at yourselves as being older now, don't think that ministry has left you. I think some of the best years of your life can be right now. Think about it. You've had this opportunity to walk with the Lord for these many years. You should have grown a lot during that time. You should have some great knowledge and life experience. You are valuable to the body of Christ. And I want to say to you, may some of God's blessing on you. I hope that some of your best years of ministry are now. But his appeal really goes to the heart. Do you see that? It really goes to the heart. Philemon, listen, I'm writing something to you. I'm in prison. I can't play football like you used to. Doesn't say that. But he's not a young man anymore. He's saying, look, listen, please consider this. There's this appeal. Why? Because reconciliation is important to God. When two brothers, two sisters, brother, sister, when there's friction within the body of Christ, God takes note. And he wants that those things would be worked out. You might say, Pastor, I think you're pushing it a little bit there. Let me just shoot something by you here from Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter. Let me go to the fourth chapter first. If this goes on, by the way, if Philemon and Onesimus are not reconciled, the body that they belong to, that local church, is going to feel it. That's why this is so important, that God would, to God, that he would take time and say, look, two guys, in light of all the world, two guys, it's important that you be reconciled. It's about the glory of God. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 2. Let me pick it up in verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Synecdoche to live in harmony in the Lord. He's saying, you know what? Unity is pretty important here. The issue of a church moving forward together, it's not, you know, we're from different backgrounds, we have different personalities, all that is beautiful and wonderful. And it ought to be a part of the body of Christ. But we ought to be moving forward with the gospel in such a way as we are a united front. In Philippians 2, this is key, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. When the enemy gets his way in the body of Christ, those principles are not being lived out. They're not. We begin to look out for our own personal interests. We forget that this is his body. This is his bride. I want to remind each of you, I mentioned this in Sunday school, but I want to remind each of you that I believe we will give an account to the Lord for how we've dealt with the body, with his bride. Paul appealed to two men, especially to one, to be reconciled. Principles in God's word are before us. He wants us to live in harmony with one another. If that's going to take place, it will take a people of God in humility before him. I want to ask you, friend, where are you at today? Do you come to church? Do you worship? Do you think this is about me? Do you think this needs to change, that needs to change, that needs to change? Are you building up your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you lifting them up with wholesome words? We looked at that out of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Words that meet the need of the moment to build up. Do you understand that God has equipped you to minister within the body? Listen to Ephesians 4, just the last part of verse 12. I'll pick it up, but basically you have here spiritual gifts. What are they there for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. There's a loving appeal. There's a situation at hand. Paul mentions that in verses 10 through 14, and I'm going to really have to hustle here, but he says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus. There's a picture here I don't want you to dismiss. I don't want you to miss. I think that when Philemon received this letter, he was given it to him by this runaway slave. Slavery was part of the Roman culture. Philemon was a slave owner. Onesimus was his slave. Onesimus had run away from Philemon. It appears that he had stolen. Paul says if he's later on in this epistle, but that if there needs to be an adjustment, he would make that right. Onesimus, in coming back, stands before his master. Philemon could have responded in several ways. One is he could have, it is thought that he could have gone as far as executing this man for running away, for leaving. Paul is given this, has given, I believe, this message to this letter to Onesimus, and he's watching his master read it. I think he's before him. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. I often wondered what Philemon thought at that point. Onesimus? Onesimus, you've begotten him? Philemon knows what he means. He means this man has been born again. This man has come to faith in Christ. He's no longer a slave. He's a fellow brother. And he gets to that in verse 16. Receiving, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? And so, what a change has happened here. We have one man that had been headed for the wrath of God, who's now a 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And Paul makes this appeal that now, listen, things have changed. It doesn't matter whether you were slave or free, Greek or Jew. This is now a brother in Christ. And I want that you would be reconciled to him. He said he used to be useless. He is now useful. God desires that his body lives in harmony. And he finishes this appeal up. There's a lot there. I don't have time to touch all of it. But he finishes this appeal with this thought that God was in the details. Listen, verse 15. Perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while. Perhaps that's the reason, Philemon, think about it. Think about it. Maybe that's why he left your presence, ended up in Rome, and somehow ended up in front of me and heard the gospel and came to Christ. Philemon, think about it. This isn't just circumstance. God has divinely ordained that he was your slave, that he came to Christ, and that you be reconciled. And so he saw God in the details. God works in a lot of ways, friends, often in ways we can't imagine. But Philemon, consider that you were separated for a while, but that you would have him back forever. Back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. And how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. They could work together and worship together. A whole different situation. I know I've flown through this, but listen, you and I need to live and conduct ourselves in the body of Christ in such a way to bring harmony to your brothers and sisters in Christ and the body for the glory of the Lord. We've come together today. It's not about you and I. This church isn't about me. It isn't about the leadership. It isn't about you. It's about our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's about his bride. It's about how I interact with one another. And I believe we can all grow in this way. How many of us can honestly say, I've never said anything I shouldn't. I've never done anything I should not have. I've never brought any kind of disunity in any way. I don't know. I'll tell you, there are things I look back and I'm shameful for in some of my years in the body of Christ. We need to move forward together for him. Do your words build up? Do they bring harmony? Do they bring unity? Are they a blessing to those around you? Do I speak well of the work within a local church? Those who I rub shoulders with. But some time ago, I looked at someone had pasted on a note on Facebook about a church they were attending. Oh, I loved it. It was beautiful. Had a wonderful time of worship there, something like that. That blessed me. That really blessed me. How are you doing in that area? What's the big deal here anyway? Well, God thought so much about two men coming together in forgiveness and reconciliation in the body of Christ, and that that body might function and move forward in harmony, that he took time to write this book, that those two men might be reconciled. Think about that. Think about that. And then further, that you and I might have this message. We might see this and then act in the same way. The big deal is this. It mattered to God. It mattered to God. And therefore, it ought to concern us. It needs to be something that we think about. I'll finish here. You and I need to repent where it's needed. We need to reconcile if that is the issue. We may have to go to a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, and say, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm asking your forgiveness. Let's not forget, when you look at what happens in the body of Christ, when a body is fractured, almost always it comes from within. Paul warned the Ephesians elders in Acts the 20th chapter that there would be wolves that came in, and from among you, he went on to talk about the real concern. I'm going to read those verses, and I'm going to stop right there. Setting is Paul's got the leadership of the Ephesus church before him. He says, be on guard, Acts 20:28, for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. That reminder there, this is God's church. And he's saying to them, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Watch over this flock. And he says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. You may sit there in your pew today and say, it could never happen to me. It could never happen to this church. That's not a good place to be. We need to be so careful, so desperate to do what's right in the body of Christ that we will humble ourselves before him and serve with gladness and joy and take care how we handle this body. Let's pray. Lord, I would ask your protection. I would ask your help. Lord, may you find in us people loving you, desiring to bring those around us to yourself, longing to live our lives within this body in such a way as to feel the warmth of your embrace in knowing that we've done right and you being pleased with it. Lord, we need help here. Our flesh gets in the way. I pray we all will humble ourselves before you, recognizing the great privilege it is to shine for you here and now in this place. And Lord, we have visitors that have come from other churches and in their place. For your glory. Amen.